that I say a few things, your vicar says a few things about himself. His name is Father Christopher Burnaby. Burnaby, it's like you're burning a bee. That's that easy. It's that easy. It's not Barnaby or Barnabas, although the name does come from St. Barnabas. And so there you go, a little bit of history on your vicar. He's ordained 9 years, thanks be to God. 8 years served as pastor of multiple parishes at a time. I have 3 hermanos, 1 sister and 2 brothers. 2 sobrinos, so 2 nephews, a nephew and a niece. Not sure what else I should be said about your vicar at this time, but one plea for you, and that is for patience. Patience. Have patience with your vicar here as he comes to know all of your names. There are many of you, and there are very few of your vicars that are around. And so because of that, need patience. There are so many of you to get to know their names, and so if a name is forgotten or a name is replaced with another name, just know that that is a cariño, that that is a sweet thing that I give to you in giving you another name, maybe. Help me to learn your actual name. I would appreciate that. Beyond that, patience with the various ways in which you may not understand all your customs. And maybe you will need to come to know the customs of your vicar in some way and correct those customs so that they become right with Father's customs. His ways are right. Your vicar's ways are often not as right. You would appreciate the help in this way. You can also speak Spanish. And your vicar would appreciate if those of you who can also speak Spanish would speak with him in Spanish so that he doesn't feel so distant from where he comes from. That will also help him not to have so much anxiety at losing that ability. If you wish to know more about your vicar, you can talk to him anytime outside of the sacred mysteries. You'll hear very little about him during them. It's all about our blessed Lord Jesus Christ here. And so we begin with the Gospels. Behold, there have now been with me 3 days, and I have nothing to eat. How will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in the wilderness? Words taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you want great things from God? Do you want to do great things for God? Take a moment to think about that. Consider this question. Do I want to do great things for God? Do I want God to do great things for me? We'll get to a way to answer this question toward the end, we hope. Expectation. Expectation determines everything within our lives. It's all about what we expect. Attitude determines the amplitude of what is actually able to be worked within our lives. Our blessed Lord Jesus, what does he do for us today? Here within our scripture passage, Mark chapter 8, what happens just before this is that this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman, comes forward and receives a healing. Immediately before our reading, our blessed Lord opened the ears of a deaf man. And then, as the Gospel of Matthew records, chapter 15, verse 31, giving the summary statement for everything that happened during this time, it says, quote, "The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see. And they glorified the God of Israel," end quotation. This is a summary statement merely to say that our blessed Lord Jesus, the King of Glory, performed many miracles after walking by the Sea of Galilee and led them up onto a high mountain to sit, to rest. Think about what they would have been experiencing at this time. Their expectation for being in the presence of Jesus were nearly unlimited. After seeing all these things that he had done, they were wondering what could happen next. What was he about to do next? What was the next miracle that would be brought before them? Their expectations were high. They were out of this world. In fact, maybe what they were questioning at that time, speaking amongst themselves, were saying, what can he not do? What is he not able to do if he does all these things? Has anybody ever told you that at Mass, Jesus shows up? Anybody ever? I hope so. He does. Really, truly, substantially, actually, he's here. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus is here. Like nowhere else upon the face of the earth, the whole universe has nothing on what is happening in St. Stephen's Parish here now in Portland, where you're at. When you come to Mass, Holy Mass, the sacrifice, what do you expect? What are your expectations when you come here today? Is your expectation during this Eucharistic sacrifice for something? What longing is burning within your heart when you arrive here at St. Stephen's Parish? When you come along this street, what are you thinking about? What desires are there when you sit yourselves down upon the wooden pews that are there before you within these hallowed walls, hallowed by the prayers of so many who have gone before? So many of you still are now, and still yet to come. God is here. Our blessed Lord Jesus, He is here. The Holy, undivided Trinity resides here now in a way unlike anywhere else. In fact, it's even greater than merely that, if that were not great enough, that all of heaven is here. The angels, the saints, the living creatures that are spoken about in the book of the Apocalypse, they're all present at Mass. The souls in purgatory are able to be present here with us to honor and to glorify God. The scattered mystical body of Christ throughout the entirety of the world is here with us, even if they don't realize it, even if they don't yet want to be here. The desire of each of us is to praise, to glorify, to honor the Lord God Almighty, to receive all the graces of His Godhead here. Whatever it is that He wants, that's what all of those hosts in heaven and in purgatory desire to receive. So a question, what is your heart aching for today? What is your longing? Are you here today? We see it in a beautiful way, that there they were, the people were struck, where they stuck around for 3 days with Christ. 3 days they passed in His time, they couldn't bear to look away. They couldn't be bothered with the passage of time as it was ticking a clock, ticking little by little. Nobody was checking their watch like some of you are now. They couldn't bear to turn in any way. They didn't even notice the normal bodily needs that were going on with them, the desires that naturally occur to a human person. How many here of you today can't wait 90 minutes to make a trip to the restroom so that High Mass might run its course? Wait a second. Did your vicar just call you out during the first Mass at which he's preaching? I think he did. That means it's important of things to come. What we can expect from our relationship here, friends, we're actually doing this now. Can we not wait? Do we have an expectation for what God can do for you and I here today? Within your lives, think about it. Have you ever been so engrossed in activity that you lose track of time? For your vicar, that's pretty much every conversation he ever gets into. That's one thing that your vicar needs you to help him out with. See, at mealtime, meals, he often fails to eat because he's too caught up in what's going on in conversation around the table. You need to help him, and sometimes that means pointing out that the food is in front of him and that he's not an angel yet. He must take nourishment. You ever get so engrossed in what's going on in front of you, kids, young people? Have you ever been so interested in a particular game or sport that you've been in, or a particular book, or something that's going on a screen flashing before you, that you forget to eat? That you forget to take some time and spend some time and rest, that you forget to do homework or maybe work around the house? So entranced with what is flashing before you that you go on past your bedtime? Let's point out that none of these young men have this particular problem, although it seems like some of their parents have a disagreement about that. What happens is that you put off these natural needs, these desires, these necessities that are concomitant with the human condition. Why do you do that? I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, but why do you experience that? Here's the reason. It's because you expect something amazing to happen just around the corner. You expect that something that is worth more than what your body actually tells you biologically that it needs is going to happen. And so you put all those desires aside, waiting for that thing to happen. When you come to Mass today, are you expecting what they expected, what they saw, what they experienced within the gospel? That same Jesus is here. Really and actually here. No less than He was when He walked along with the apostles. He is here. to do something even more extraordinary. And that's what our Lord says, that his apostles and that his priests who he would ordain would do things even greater than that. Is 90 minutes too long to wait? The gradual of the Mass. This is an important thing for you to look at. Go ahead and open your missalettes or your books or whatever it is that you have right there that may contain these words in it. These words are important. What does it say there? In the gradual, it spoke to us from the beauty of Psalm 89. What does it say in Psalm 89? Convertere Domine aliquantulum et deprecari super servos tuos. That is to say, return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Are any of you feeling that today? Are you turning to God and saying, God, convert? Are you saying, God, turn with us. Turn toward us. God, I'm waiting for you. Be attentive to what my heart desires right now. I want you. I need you. I can't go on any longer without you. Do something. If this is what you're asking of God, brothers and sisters, you come to the right place. This is here. This is where he is, and he comes in power every time he comes to Holy Mass, every time you're here. Even when you're not here, he's here to give the same. Maybe that means if that's what our hearts desire, we make the stronger effort to come. Remember those stories of old, the words that are kept within sacred scripture that we read about within the lives of the great saints. The words of that gradual speak, O Lord, you have been our refuge through all generations. What is a refuge? You know what a refuge is? A refuge. A refuge is a beautiful word. Pick it apart. See what it means. Ray, speaking about the thing. Or rather, Ray, speaking about again. Fugere. A fugere is a flight. It means to flee. So a refuge is something that when you're in danger, when you're attacked, when things are not going well, you run, you take off, you flee from that which is difficult. But it's got that ray right there before it. Speaking about a noun, it's a place. It means it's a place that you recognize that you can run to again and again and again and again, over and over again, just to find safety. And the reason why you go again and again to it is because you know you've been safe there before. You've been protected there before. You've been secured there before. And so again and again you come. God is your refuge. The Lord God is your refuge. Jesus Christ is your refuge. Let's complete the gradual. What does it speak about? It moves to a different psalm, doesn't it? Psalm 30. What does it say there? It says, in you, O Lord, I take refuge. Never let me be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and release me. Incline your ear. Make haste to deliver me. What are you expecting from God today? Have we given you time to think about that yet? What are you expecting from God to do today? What do you want from him? What are you waiting for? What are you longing to happen for you here within this place? I'll tell you what. What the Lord God has in store for you here within these sacred mysteries is more than beautiful music, which will drive your vicar to tears at some point if it doesn't happen today. More than the beautiful choreography of servers, priests. More than the great glory of what seems to shimmer about in the mystical smoke that reminds you and I that prayers are going up. It should remind you and I that graces at the same point are coming down from the most generous Lord. Are you expecting them to come? Not in general, but to you, and in your situation, to the point in which your need is greatest, in that place maybe in which you fear to mention, to speak about, because it's something that happened so long ago, or something which is so shameful that continues to go on, that you shake a little bit as you pass by the confessional, wondering, I don't know if I can say that today. I don't know if I can let that go today. I don't know if I'll really be protected today. I tell you what, that's exactly where our Lord desires to move today. He is your refuge. Take flight to him. What are you expecting today? Maybe you were expecting your pastor to give words of encouragement to you today. You were stuck with your vicar. But all the same God is here. The same Lord is here. And so we began saying, do you want to do great things for God? Do you want God to do great things for you? It must be personalized. Do I want God to do great things for me? Do I want to do great things for God? St. John Eudes, a great saint, he gives, within one single quotation, four things to be able to do great things for God, to be able to receive great things from God. I share those with you now. This is a quote from St. John Eudes. He says, quote, "Undertake courageously great tasks for God's glory, to the extent that he'll give you power and grace for this purpose. Even though you can do nothing on your own, you can do all things in him." He continues. Here are the four things. Excursus. I'll get back to it. I should have mentioned this, but I threw this together this morning, so. You should be taking notes. It's not only Protestants who get to take notes during sermons. I don't know if you know that. Take notes. Not because the speaker in front of you is particularly skilled, but because the one for whom he is speaking is particularly skilled. A further note. If you tell your vicar that that was a great sermon after Mass, he is like to challenge you on that. He is like to say, that's interesting. What exactly touched you about it? Oftentimes, what will come out of your mouth, if anything does, it will be something that the vicar didn't say. That renews the humility of the vicar, and that turns his attention more to the one who's really speaking, he hopes. Take notes. God has something for you. Write it down. That ingrains it on your memory and reminds you afterwards that it's something you need to go back to. Back to the quotation, St. John Eudes. He speaks about the courage that you have to take in order to do great things for God, even though you are nothing, that God can do great things with his power in you. He gives four ways to make sure that is accomplished. Four ways. First, his help will never fail you if you have confidence in his goodness. Secondly, place your entire physical and spiritual welfare in his hands. Third, abandon to the fatherly concern of his divine providence every care for your health, reputation, property, and business. For those near to you, for your past sins, for your soul's progress in virtue and love of him, for your life, death, and especially your salvation and eternity. In a word, all your cares. Fourthly, rest in the assurance that in his pure goodness, he will watch with particular tenderness over all your responsibilities and cares, arranging all things for the greatest good. That is your quotation from St. John Eudes, great saint of the church. So if this indeed is what our Lord has for you, expect great things from God. To review, all you must do is have this confidence that God is indeed good and his goodness never fails. To secondly, place all your entire physical and spiritual welfare in his hands. He made the whole world. And as the children often sing, it's still contained within his hands. Already, you just take it from yourself and put it back where it belongs. St. John Eudes says, abandon everything to his fatherly concern, recognizing that as a good father, he has your best interest in mind in all things. Nothing, absolutely nothing that is important to you and for you is unimportant to his care. He's your father. And lastly, rest. Rest. Relax. Cálmese. Be at peace. Because he's pure goodness. He'll watch over with a particular tenderness, with a particular love over everything that matters to you. He's meek and gentle of heart, as we meditated all last month, long in the month of the Sacred Heart. He knows how to arrange all things in the most perfect way possible. Just put your trust in Him. When you came today, what were you expecting? If it was very little, we hope that it is increased. If it was large already, then indeed it must have grown larger. For the greatness of your expectations determine what you indeed allow the Father of all glory, the He from whom all good things come, to do within your own lives. And far beyond it is what He always does everywhere He shows up, especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.